Thank you. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. I'd like to invite Doug and Tyla and the elders, if they could, to come on up. It is our pleasure to introduce them officially in person to you all. Back in November, early fall, Brad and Esme had made an announcement that they will be transitioning out. And we were very, very sad to see them go. And we, at that point, we also started praying and starting to look for who will be the next kind of couple to come alongside and just grow with us and journey with us together as we seek to be expats living, loving, and leading like Jesus. That song that we just sang, I'll give room to you to do whatever you want to do. As I think about Doug and Tyla's story, I think that also rings true for them. I just want to give a little introduction. You're going to hear Doug talk here in a little bit. And then after the service, you can meet them. And then again, at the coffee shop today afterwards, please join us for kind of a meet and greet as well, so you can get to know them better. But they answered God's call to go and plant a church in Hawaii. I mean, that's a hard place to go, I know, but you'll hear them talk a lot about that, because you guys spent, I believe, 14 years there. Yeah, 14, 15 years starting a church from scratch and growing that and ministering there. And then they spent about three years in Beijing, working with the International Fellowship there, Beijing International Fellowship. And then the last few years has been working with churches and pastors in kind of the northeastern part of the U.S., supporting them and encouraging them. Tyla also is very involved with some women's ministries, and she takes trips all over the world, yeah, to encourage and support women as well. And so we're just super excited they are here. And, you know, it's probably a little bit surreal because, COVID and everything else the first time we met in person was on Wednesday. You know, it was like, man, I hope this really works out. I hope this was the right move, you know. But we are happy and grateful that they are here. And also today, as they arrived, I mean, this is the first time that they came to kind of their new workplace, you know, not even like a first walkthrough, say, oh, is this the right feeling? I mean, they stepped out in faith to say, yeah, we feel like God is leading us in this direction. And so we are grateful that they are here. Their two children are here as well. They have a third one in Shanghai graduating next week. So we'll miss them next week. But don't worry, they will be coming back. So, they need to make it to that graduation. It's pretty important. But we just wanted to officially introduce them. And as the leadership of the church, we wanted to lay hands on them and pray over them. It's just a welcome and just asking a blessing for their time here. So I'd ask Silas to pray for us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Nathan. Just before we pray, I just felt we should do something. And if you don't mind. All right, don't be afraid, don't be scared. I think it's important that we, as a church, openly declare that we are receiving them, okay? So I'm going to ask the question, and then you would respond by saying, you don't have to say anything, but you just say, yes, we do. So do you receive the ministry of Doug and Tyla? Thank you very much. All right.
Great. You can clap.
Yeah, before praying, I think I should just remind us that this is a solemn moment. They have been called to serve here as ministers, as pastors. And it's not a light thing. You know, Jesus speaking in John chapter 10, 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's a big task. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it says that is speaking of Jesus, he gave some pastors, apostles, evangelists, and all of that for a couple of reasons: to build up the body of Christ and to prepare people for the work of ministry. So they have quite a lot of work to do. So we're going to pray for them right now to, first of all, commission them. As he rightly said, as the elders of the church, we have the responsibility to appoint the pastor, and then trusting that the anointing and the grace of God will be manifold and will manifest through them. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the head of the church and SIF is part of the global church. We are grateful for the uniqueness of SIF and for everyone here today from different countries, cultures, and languages. And we are thankful for this new season that is beginning with this family. So Lord, we lift up Doug and the wife, and of course the children. We ask for the empowerment of your spirit, that your grace will walk through them, that their weaknesses will be minimized, or your grace will magnify their strengths, that they won't just walk in their own physical and natural strength alone, but they will walk by the empowerment of your spirit. So Lord, once again, we declare as a church that we accept their ministry and we are trusting that through the time they will spend here with us at SIF, SIF will grow and Jesus will be honored. We are trusting that through them, we will continue to learn to live, love, and lead like you. All this I have asked in Jesus' name. Amen. Please jam your hands together.
Great, thank you. Now we hand the mic over to Doug.
Notes here. Well, it has been a long journey coming here. And it's been a joyful journey. We're so excited about being here. My wife and I, Nathan said, we were in Hawaii for 16 years in Hawaii, church planted in Hawaii. Someone has to suffer for God in Hawaii. And it was a wonderful thing. I have some pictures to show you, just four of them quickly to show you, kind of give you a picture of what it was like doing Hawaii. We have a picture up there maybe next. Oh, I think, there it is. There is my wife and our dog, just picturesque, beautiful. And there's a bunch of people at New Hope, Lihue. This is a typical day at Hanalei Bay on Kauai, where we just gather together as a church, fellowship with one another. It is awesome. It's beautiful. And we also use hula in our services, not the coconut shells and the grass skirts. No, nice dresses. And whenever we do hula, people cry. It is just, it's wonderful. And then one last picture, remind you here that's me surfing there. That's not me surfing, but that's kind of like me surfing. Yeah, Kauai has some of the best waves in the world as far as surfing. It is a surfer's paradise. Lots of people, lots of people surf there. Now, when you get wiped out by a big wave, any surfers here at all? Anyone here? I see him right there. You girl. Like, when you get wiped out by a big wave, it's called being ragdolled. It's when the wave takes you and just shakes you violently. It's like a dog grabs a stuffed animal and just shakes it violently to kill it. That's what it's like under the wave. You have no control. You're just bouncing along the bottom of the, whatever's on there. It's coral or rock or whatever it is. And it can be terrifying at times. The bigger the wave, the longer it holds you down. And sometimes in life, we get shaken violently. And it's not pleasant. There is fear involved with that. Some of us get that at our job. Some of us get that in a marriage. Some of us get it in a broken relationship. Some of us get that with school. It's exams time. Exams coming up at this time during exams. It's a time of being shaken and it's fearful. Many of us here had a very difficult time during COVID. And there are times in life when it's kind of scary. And I'm here to talk to you about how do you handle fear? And I want to do a series on this. And this series is going to center around a couple weeks' messages on different aspects of fear. Next week, Nathan's going to be looking at that with you guys. And get my notes here ready. There's a passage of scripture here I want to read for us. And my notes aren't coming up. Here we go. Good. I want to start off with the Gospel of Mark, the story of Jesus calming the storm with his disciples. Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41 reads, "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side of the lake." He was already in the boat, so they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Frantically, they woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown?" When he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Quiet down." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" And they were filled with awe and said among themselves, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?" We want to talk about now about how, what are some three principles we can learn about handling fear from this passage in the Gospel of Mark. And the first principle I want to look at is Jesus calls us into storms. There are times when Jesus is going to call us into storms. It's just part of life. When the disciples got in the boat, it says here in Mark 4, 35 to 36, says Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." He was already in the boat, so they started out, leaving the crowds behind. At times, Jesus is going to call us to leave the shoreline, to venture out into deep waters. And at times, it's going to be scary. It's going to be violent. Notice what the scriptures say about the waves in Mark 4, verse 37. "But soon a fierce storm arose. High waves began to break into the boat until it was nearly full of water." You know, the disciples, they've been on the Sea of Galilee many, many times. They've ventured out to go across the Sea of Galilee probably 1,000 times. As professional fishermen, they've seen it all. But not like this. The boat was filling up with water. When seasoned professionals on the boat are scared that they're going to possibly die, that's a panic moment. These guys are panicking. And they had every understandable right to be very deeply concerned. There was a potential of great loss here. And at times, Jesus calls us into this kind of a storm. Now, why does God do this? Well, part of the reason why God does this is to build our faith. In James chapter 1, 2 and 4 reads, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the test of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." At times, it's going to be hard. Do you all remember when you first came to China? When you left the shores of your home and to come here to China and your first week, and you're going, "Where am I going to live?" You say to your spouse, your friend, "Hey, you eat that. No, you eat that. No, you eat that." We've all been there. I was there in Beijing. At times, I was pulling my hair out saying, "God, what are we doing? Are you there?" And yet God was calling us, just like he called every one of you here, even here today. And that if any of you are struggling with some issues of fear, you are normal. We're one with you. And the Lord knows this. He sees this. And he's guiding you in the midst of this journey in your life. The first thing we need to realize about how to handle fear in the midst of storms is Jesus calls us into storms. But number two, while the waves rage, know that God cares. While the waves rage, know that God cares. Mark 4, verse 38 reads, "Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Frantically, they woke him up shouting, 'Teacher, don't you even care that we are going to drown?'" funny thing, when you go in the midst of a really hard situation, it's easy to forget that God cares, isn't it? It's easy to say, God, where are you? Remember the Friday before we left to fly out here, I had a wonderful experience about 5 a.m. I had some kidney stone problems. Now, have you ever had kidney stones? Anybody here have kidney stones? They're a lot of fun. Yeah, aren't they a lot of fun? I mean, on the floor, groaning. My wife's going, "What is going on?" And yeah, kidney stones are no fun. And in the midst of on the floor, on my knees, growling and fighting this thing, the thought came to my head: Is God going to be faithful to you? Is God looking out to you? I'm going, no, God is in control. I don't know what's going on, but God's in control. And I had to take a bunch of aspirin, and then it kind of subsided about a half hour later, and then the next day it happened again. And anyways, right before leaving on a big international move, kidney stones, great. But I'm like, Lord, no, you're still in control. Even though it's a pain, you're still in control. And I remember when I first had kidney stones when I was in college, I went to a Lutheran school, and it was a normal public kind of university. I was in the hospital, and yeah, it was bad. When they inject you with the pain medicine, it was like they injected cement into your bottom. It was, I was like, wow. You wake up a few days later, and you're going, what's happening? Kind of scared, and a Lutheran minister came in. He said, "Hi, I'm the chaplain for the Lutheran school. I got a phone call. You're in the hospital here. Just want to see how you're doing." I said, "Oh, I am doing pretty good. By the way, I was not into God at all at that point. And here's this guy. He's caring for me. I'm going, well, this is pretty cool." And then he's talking a little bit. And this, can I pray for you? And he prayed for me, and that was impactful. That was actually very, very helpful. I remember when he walked away, I was like, I don't know what that was, but that was great. I want some of that. And as a hospital chaplain on Hawaii for 10 years, I can tell you, here's a little pastoral advice here. If someone's in the hospital and you go visit them in the hospital, whether you're going to stay for 5 minutes or an hour or whatever, take a little bit of time and pray with them. That'll be more meaningful to them than maybe the entire conversation you have with them. It really helps, because sometimes it's easy to see God's goodness, that he cares through the eyes of a friend, especially in the midst of great pain and difficulty. Because to God, he does care. He does see. One of the challenges with the disciples is their boat is filling up with water, and they're in a complete panic, and they're crying out, Jesus, don't you even care? And a thought came to my head when preparing for this message. What did the disciples forget about Jesus? And looking back in the scriptures from Mark chapter 4 and in the parallel gospels also, we have Jesus changing water into wine in John chapter 2. Jesus healing the nobleman's son in John chapter 4 verse 50. Jesus healing all kinds of sicknesses in Mark 4, 23. Jesus healing a leper and a servant in Matthew 8. Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew 8. And in Matthew 8, verse 16, it says that Jesus cast out evil spirits out of people. Jesus was doing lots of miracles. He was healing lepers, delivering people from demons, healing all kinds of sicknesses. They saw Jesus doing miracles. It doesn't say here in the scriptures, but I'm guessing like hundreds of miracles Jesus was performing before this incident here on the boat. And even though Jesus did all these miracles, they just seemed to have forgotten about how much God does care. And when it comes to handling the storms and the rage in our life, and when things don't make sense, and sometimes you're in great physical pain, remember the good things that God has done for you. Remember the times that he has in the past helped you and cared for you and answered your prayers. Even write them down. right? The little miracles God has done in your life, and keep them as a keepsake. Remember, because God, He's not going to answer all our prayers. He does answer most of our prayers. That's important. That's important. Very, very important distinction to make here. He doesn't answer all of our prayers, but He answers most of them. I got a picture here. We had an overnight stay at a hotel from an airplane, and they had this big like machine, the gambling machine there, and we put $1 in there. And I figured, well, kind of see what happens, right? Hey, kids, come here. Let's pray in Jesus' name and see what happens. So we put the dollar in, and my wife pulls the big arm, and it goes back up, and the things start tumbling. And you wouldn't believe it. It was awesome. Nothing happened. When you pray in Jesus' name, it's not, God's not some cosmic vending machine that we get to push a lever, and out comes the candy bar. He is God. And at times, He's not going to answer our prayers. But I do find that if we sincerely pray in Jesus' name, He does answer a lot of prayers. And to record them in a book and keep them safe, because the storms, they're going to come again. And when fear starts creeping over us, we can go back to that ledger and go, no, God, You have been faithful here and here and here and here. I like the verse here in Isaiah 42, verse 2 and 3. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isn't that great? We have a Savior. He's going to go before us and behind us and with us. And even though He's going to allow us to go through storms, He is with you and He cares. When handling the fears in our life, number one, Jesus calls in the storms. Number two, while the waves rage, no, God cares. And number three, to remember is peace comes when Jesus speaks. Mark 4, 39-40 reads, when He woke up, He rebuked the wind and said to the water, quiet down. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And they asked them, and He asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in Me? Notice the storm did not stop until Jesus spoke those words, quiet down. Some other translation says, be calm. And when Jesus speaks, nature listens. When Jesus speaks, people change. Situations do align with the will of the Almighty Jesus Christ. And the scriptures says to fear not well over 300 times. In understanding how to handle this issue of fear and how to understand when does God speak, how does God speak in the midst of fear, I want to consider two like sub-points here. The first is kind of like a shark mouth, and it's a kind of greater than kind of symbol here. I can fast forward here. There we go. And on one axis, you're going to have that one axis goes up in the air, you're going to have God. On the axis on the bottom is your view of yourself. And when you come to Jesus, typically, there you are. You're starting off in your relationship with God. And you begin to start understanding the bigness of God and how God works, and this kind of stuff. And it's wonderful. Things are going great. You're understanding how big God is as you're reading the scriptures, as you're attending church, as you're attending small groups, as you're growing in your relationship with Christ. God becomes bigger. And He should be in our hearts and in our minds. The problem is that the more we learn about God, the more we learn about ourselves, we're realizing that we're not as great as we thought we were. We're realizing the more sinful we are. and realizing depravity, the theological term of moral depravity, and it resides in us. And quite an extreme can start happening between God and ourselves. And sometimes we look at our problems in life, and the waves are huge, they're crashing in the boat, we're getting ragdolled in life, and we remember God and our relationship with Jesus like a long time ago. And we know about the hugeness of God, and yet the depravity of ourselves, and we're realizing we're so far from God. Does he care? And in the midst of those swirling thoughts and the emotional agony, we must realize the cross is not something way back when. The cross isn't that big back then. The cross is bigger now than it ever has been. The cross of Christ, it is here and it is now. The cross of Christ is always here and it is now. And as we beat ourselves up sometimes and we hate ourselves, that is wrong thinking, because Jesus cares. He's redeemed you. He loves you. Now, sometimes you got to repent. And if there's sin in our lives, we must get rid of the sin in our lives. God is a holy God and we're to be holy too. But the cross is not a little cross. It is a big cross. It's big enough for the entire world. And it's right here and right now. And this King Jesus is with you in the midst of your storm. And he wants to speak to you. So how do you hear this when he speaks to you? And I love this passage out of John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus says the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God Almighty, and he's going to be not only with you, he is going to be in you. And notice about one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is found a few verses later in verse 26 and 27. And it reads, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the things that Jesus has said. When we read the scriptures, as you learn about God, and then we face these trials, and then a verse boop, pops into your brain, that's God speaking to you. Some people ask me, well, what does God sound like, Doug? Well, you know, I'm not too sure what God sounds like. God, most of the time, God sounds just like the Bible. This is the Holy Spirit speaking those words to our minds, especially when we're facing difficulties. And when you're hearing Jesus speaking scripture to you in the midst of your situation, that is God calming your heart. Find Jesus. Find him. Some of us may have to find him in the eyes of a friend. But all of us, we need to find Jesus as it is recorded in the scriptures. Just open up the scriptures and start reading. Because the scriptures are going to start pulling off the page to you. I remember the story of John Stott, a famous missionary from all over the world back in the 1800s. And it was said that he had the whole New Testament memorized. Pretty cool. And he was up one night with a friend in a tent, and he had a little lantern, a little oil lantern, and it's dark, and he's flipping through his Bible, and he's flipping through the Bible, and the Bible's making these crinkling noises as the page is going. And his friend's trying to sleep, and he's kind of getting disturbed by John. And he finally goes, John, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? And John goes, there's something wrong with me, and I can't find it yet. And as he continues to read the scriptures, he's folded the pages over. He was trying to find the Holy Spirit to speak to him about what the trouble was in his heart. I experienced that just this morning at 1 a.m. This is jet lag. I'm from East Coast in America. That's 12 hours away. So we're still getting up early. It's like, oh, I'm wide awake. At 2 a.m., I'm reading the Bible, and I'm going, God, I first time here at SIF. I'm a little nervous. You know, what? Anything you want to say to me? And I'm reading out of Isaiah 33, verse 2. And it says, oh, Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. And I just caught my heart. Oh, Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. A few verses later, verse 10, says, now I'll arise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. Oh, those verses jumped out at me. You know, if God Almighty is saying to you, I'm getting out of my chair, there's going to be a problem, and God's going to fix it. I mean, we don't want God getting out of his chair looking at us in a wrong way. And God's saying to me, I'm getting out of my chair to help you. I said, I'm good. Some of us here are experiencing pretty hard fears. And to handle these fears in our lives, God wants to remember that, one, he calls us into storms. And as God calls in the storms, you're going to be okay. And number two, know that he cares. He is a God who knows, and he cares for you, even though it's hard to see sometimes. And number three, peace is going to come when God speaks to you. Seek his face in the Bible. Seek his face with a prayer partner. He will speak to you. If you have any kind of prayer requests, if you have storms that you're dealing with, come, I'll be happy to pray for you after the service. Does that sound good? Let us pray. Lord, I want to say thank you so much for being a God who sees and a God who cares. That you're not going to abandon us as orphans. Thank you that you give Lord Jesus examples in your word. That you love us and you care for us. This week, Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help us to seek you. To seek your face. Because Lord, we surrender our lives to you. And we ask that you would come in and be our God. Come and live inside of us. Because we need you. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.